There's a class in the art of chanting Hare Krishna based on the book. And we yesterday discussed a technique to improve our determination by trying to chant one round. It's called a vow of one. To chant one round without scratching, fidgeting, slouching, wiggling, rotating, cracking the neck, or speaking to anyone. Listen to class for 1 minute without looking right, left. You're worried about Radha. You're looking for Radha? It's good, you should look for Radha. We should spend our whole life looking for Radha. Kothay go prema mahi radhe radhe, kothay go prema mahi radhe radhe, radhe 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 radhe, radhe 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 radhe, kano mano mohini radhe radhe, kano mano mohini radhe radhe, kanu mano mohini radhe radhe, kanu mano mohini radhe radhe, radhe 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 go radhe radhe, radhe radhe go radhe radhe, kotai go prema mahi 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 radhe radhe, astashaki shiromani radhe radhe, astashaki shiromani radhe radhe, nidivan me radhe radhe, nidivan me radhe, ek bar nidivan me radhe radhe, ek bar nidivan me radhe radhe, kotai go prema mahi radhe radhe, kotai go prema mahi radhe radhe, ek bar radha kun me radhe radhe, ek bar radha kun me radhe radhe, radhe 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 radhe, kotai go prema mahi 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 radhe, Vrishabhanu nandini radhe radhe, Vrishabhanu nandini radhe radhe, Radhe 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 Radhe. Vowel 1. Now the vowel 4. So if we can sit one place and chant one round of japa without pausing and finish 108 beads, then we can say, well, let me try for 4, without moving, wiggling, scratching, fidgeting, twisting, turning, jumping, passing. About 4. Harinam Chintamani says, 4 rounds on the beads makes 1 grunty. 4 grantees make 16 rounds, and 16 grantees equals 64 rounds. So granti, the word granti, is a complete unit. Generally, chanting is done in groups of 4. 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 24, etc. Sometimes people say, oh, I chanted 25 rounds on Ekadasi. And the whole basis of this idea is not the Harinam Chintamani, or not anything, except a letter, one letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote in reply to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, every day Srila Prabhupada, he wrote, every day the Radha Damodar Sankirtan buses, all the devotees are going out distributing books every day. Vishnu John goes to the campuses and sets up a nice display and books, and then he has chanting and does plays and puppet shows and to enact Krishna consciousness and spread Krishna consciousness, and he sings very beautifully. So in this way, book distribution is going on, Harinam Sankirtan, and also Halava distribution, Prasad distribution. So then, we do this every day, but on Ekadasis, we take the day back, and all the men chant 25 rounds a day on Ekadasi. 25 rounds. Is this a good idea? The Prabhupada wrote back, yes, I'm very happy to hear about your book distribution and your programs, and continue as you are. It's very nice that the devotees are chanting 25 rounds a day on Ekadasi. So that letter became like a praman for time immemorial. So many people say, oh, on Ekadasi I chanted 25 rounds. And I said, why are you chanting 25? Oh, Prabhupada said we should chant 25 on Ekadasi. He didn't say chant 25 on Ekadasi. He said you should chant a minimum of 16 rounds every day. You should always be chanting. And if you can chant 64, that's very good. In the beginning, as you'll see in this book later on, beginning Prabhupada wanted the disciples to chant 64 rounds. They balked and stammered, and they whimpered. They balked and they stammered, they whimpered, wimped, or wimp, whatever. Whimpered. They cried, oh, Prabhupada! And devotees are all day, all night, everyone's walking around, bumping into the walls, 10 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada, all day, all night, we were chanting, we only got 29 rounds done. 26 rounds. How we do 64? All right, do 32 a day. 8 times 4, 32. 8 grantis. A granti is 4 rounds. Prabhupada didn't say 25, he said 32. And then they said, oh, wah, very difficult. So then they said, okay, 4 grantis. 4 grantis. 4 grantis means 16 rounds. So that's where it stands, 4 grantis. Or 4 grantis. Grunting. Grunting or grunty? Are you grunting or you're grunting? But grunty means this. So this is a package. This is a package deal. If you want to chant 4 rounds, that or 8, 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 24, 28. And if you're going to increase, then increase by 4. Like your daughter is now doing, you want her to do 4 rounds a day. Right? Now she does whenever she wants some rounds. Oh! 3. She just does one more, it becomes 4. Try to push her. Maybe I'll ask her. But she's pretty respectful to me. But I don't want to push her like her mother. Hare Krishna. So the vowel 4 is one granti. And it goes like this. Since the word granti means not, it can be said that a group of 4 rounds forms a type of knot that binds the devotee more firmly to the lotus feet of Radha and Govinda. So what a granti is, 4 rounds, it means a knot. It binds one's heart to the lotus feet of Radha Govinda. So one binding, 4 rounds, and 2 bindings, 8 rounds, and 3 bindings, one knot, another knot, another knot. When you want to make a heavy binding, then you tie many knots. There's something called a slip knot. Slip knot, you tie like this and you pull it a loop, and you just pull it and the knot comes out. It's called a slip knot. There's a sailor's knot, and right over left, left over right, and different kinds of knots. So if one has successfully followed the vowel of one, he can try to observe the vowel of 4. Following the same rules as above, one vows to sit in one place without moving until completing 4 rounds of japa. So as I said in the introduction of this technique, of these techniques, it's called the vow, determination. Increasing determination, the vow of 1, 4, 16, and 64. So they're getting more difficult as we go up the numbers. But to sit down in one place, it sounds, oh, anybody can do that. But you see how much and how well you do it. You sit there and this and that. And, you know, we try to, you know, twist around here and there. If you can't sit in lotus position, because some people, you know, Kali Yuga, we're not so much yogis. So we can't, you know, accommodate properly sitting. But sit on a chair. Sit on a comfortable chair. But be quiet. You know, don't get a swivel chair. Don't sit at your desk. You have a desk. Some devotees have desks and a chair, a swivel chair. They sit there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So try the vowel. Now the big one, vowel for 16. Magic. One will increase his powers of concentration and determination by successfully completing the above vows of 1 and 4. Now make the vow of 16. This is Maha Tapasya. Which means to observe all the rules above while chanting 16 rounds in one sitting. Sit down in front of Tulsi or in front of a picture of Radha and Krishna, or painting rather, Radha and Krishna or Thakurji. Thakurji may be sleeping, maybe you haven't done your puja yet because you're not clean, you've just washed your feet or whatever. Thakurji sleeping. But you just sit there and you chant mala 16 rounds, then you take baths for full bath and do puja or whatever. You're doing puja, daily puja. Or just to be in the proximity of the Shalagram or Govardhan Shila or Radha and Krishna Gornitai. It's the spiritual world. Wherever Krishna is situated, that's the spiritual world. It's very good vibration there. Sanctified. When you read in the Mantra Shastras, we described in our Gayatri book, they said that mantras are, if one chants mantras next to the ocean, it's very powerful. A lot of ions in the atmosphere, a lot of prana, waves breaking and wind. And you can feel it also. If one chants mantras on the bank of a moving river, like Ganga or Jamuna, it's also a good place. Another place is mountaintops. So generally the rishis and sages would go all these places. Generally riverbanks, have a cave on a mountaintop and come down to the river. So it says this is very beneficial, very good for prana. But then it says, if one chants in front next to, he chants his mantras next to Tulsi, he gets 100 times the benefit. Next to, if he's a Vaishnava, there's a Vaishnav Pancharatrika, Vaishnav Vidhi. If he chants mantras beside Tulsi, he gets 100 times the power and the benefit of the mantra. Maha Mantra, Gayatri, Gopal Mantra. And if he chants in front of the deity, seeing the deity, like you're chanting Hare Krishna in front of Radhisham Sundar or some deity, Jagannath, Tota Gopinath, you get something like 100,000 times the benefit. You should not chant with his shoes on, Gayatri. Of course we do, we're on Sankirtan and we stop in Sankirtan and we go in the van and we chant. We don't take our shoes off, otherwise our feet will freeze to death. And you have to be practical. So that's the vow of 16. Anyone who does it, anyone sits in one place and chants 16 rounds? Vrajman? It's very good. Really strengthens the mind. Restlessness. Physical restlessness means mental restlessness. Once somebody was sitting in Prabhupada's lecture, and he was going like this, moving his knee up and down like this. Prabhupada said, you're not hearing. Because you're not controlling, you know, you're going like this. It means the mind is agitated, not really fixed on what Prabhupada is saying. Not so much, Indians don't so much do that. Western people often go like this. Well, Indians just rock. They're like all like Gandharvas or something like that. Used to dancing in her last life. So vow of 64, now this is really big. It's called vow of 64. On any auspicious day like Ekadashi, Gaur Purnima, or Radhastami, one can take a vow or make a vow to chant 64 rounds of Hare Krishna Japa in order to please Sri Guru and Radha Govinda. Take a vow to sit down four times during the day and finish four grantis, as done in a vow of 16. If you are a Mahayogi, then sit before Tulsi Devi and chant all 64 rounds without getting up. Pretty good yogi. Means you don't even have to pass urine. 64 rounds is, if you're really fast, you can do in like 4 hours. Because that might be okay, not fasting. But most people take 8 hours or longer. And then in 8 hours, one usually has to avoid some urine. So then you...
Are you sure that what speed can one do it for 1 hour? The will does me.
16 rounds in 1 hour? I can't chant like that, so I can't say. Fastest I could ever chant is 5.5 minutes a round, which is not very fast. 5.5 minutes a round means like 10 rounds in an hour, 11 rounds in an hour, 16 rounds in an hour. A lot of it is, it's monastic. Everyone smiles at Hare Krishna. Then they go, you don't hear anything. Hare Krishna. It's like, you know, it doesn't sound, when a little bit of Hare Krishna is audible, it doesn't sound so fast. Most of it's like, tongue is moving, there's no sound. But tongue may be slightly moving. It's like almost I could say it's like a mental whispering. You're an experienced chanter,
if I chant in my mind, then it go very fast. But when
it's mostly a mental chanting. It takes 16 rounds in 1 hour. You can do. Must be able to. Because our godbrother Parvat Maharaj in Radhakund, big daddy, thin Lambiwala, he's chanting 64 rounds for many years. I think he says it takes 4 or 5 hours. I mean, it's like anything, practice makes perfect. Speed increases because your mind becomes pure. At any rate, I'm not that somehow take the vow to do it. It's very nice to do on Ekadasi. I'm going to chant 64 rounds a day, and you don't know how it's going to happen. You start off. The best thing to do is get an early start. The more rounds you chant before 12 o'clock, the easier it is. So that means you have to prepare, as I said, the 8 rules of japa. One of the rules is night before. Remember the night before? The night before, we have to eat lightly. We have to make a sankalpa. Oh, tomorrow's Ekadasi. Oh, Krishna, please help me. I want to chant 64 rounds for your pleasure. Or Bunky Bihari, or Rasa Bihari, whoever you're, Gorni Tai, Nitai Gorasundar. So please help me. Please help. I have to. Whatever I do, I have to take rest early tonight, somehow or other. The night before, otherwise you're just dragging. You're catching up the whole time. If you can get up at 3 or 4 o'clock, then you can get some good headway. It feels so good. It feels so satisfying. What to speak of every day chanting 64 rounds. Is there any questions on these vows? So. This is japa variety. There's 3 ways to chant. So just stop at 24. Save 10 minutes. No, never chant less. And if you're chanting 20, if you have some habit to chant 25, then... 28 or 32. It's quite a big thing. I mean, since 30 years, I'm meeting so many people. Oh, I'm chanting 25 rounds on Ekadasi. Have you met so many people like that? Yeah. There's 3 kinds of japa. Manasik. Upamshu and Vachika. Manasik means in the mind. And Upamshu means whispering. So that you can hear it. And this vachika means almost like kirtan, quite loud, so everyone can hear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. So Prabhupada, he generally chanted japa called Upamsu. Because in the tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava is most people they chant silently, Manasik Japa. And most of the gurus, these other people, these other acharyas, they tell their students, chant silently, in the mind. I was staying in Radhadamara, I've told this so many times, for 3 years. And Prabhupada's kitchen, that's where the Saivite stays. We're used to, now no one stays there permanently. And that's right next to the Prikamarg. You go around Radhadamara temple, the Prikamarg goes right by Prabhupada's kitchen, the windows, and goes through. And during Kartik, there's thousands and thousands of devotees coming through. Because it's Damodar month. They're going by, and they all have mala, and they're all chanting, and they're all quiet. Ladies, gents, Bengalis, this, that. Everyone very, very quiet. Very quiet. And then I'm sitting there all sitting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. I said, well, there must be somebody from ISKCON. So then I look out the window, there's a little, like, jealousy window, you know, like this type of thing, old stone window. I look out, some devotee from Germany or whatever, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So it was very, I always, oh, that must be ISKCON. So this is good. Because loud chanting not only benefits us, but it benefits thousands of other living entities who hear it. And Haridas Thakur is having some discussion about the holy name 500 years ago. Some of the pundits, they were challenging him. Hey, you should chant mantras silently. Why are you making so much noise? You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Because he also chanted loudly. And then he asked, and he was very clever. He said to the pundits, what is better? To feed yourself? Or to feed yourself and feed 1,000 people? What's the answer? Feed yourself and feed 1,000 people. So, and the guy was quiet. So he said, I am feeding myself by chanting Hare Krishna and I'm feeding 1,000 people. So this is the mood. This is the Pracharak mood. There's two moods. There's two moods in Lord Chaitanya's mission. Roshyanandi and Bhajananandi. So these three types of manasik means chanting in the mind without any external sound. This is very difficult because generally chanting in the mind is actually partially upamshu, because the tongue is moving. I discussed this in my Gayatri book. It's only small and a little bit touched here. But actual manasik japa means the tongue is not moving. That's why the Agya Chakra facilitates that type of... That's a lot of concentration where everything is at rest. Everything is at rest. So then you meditate on the Agya Chakra between the eyebrows. And then you can concentrate. The tongue is supposed to be totally passive. Usually two things happen. One thing is the tongue moves, it's moving with the mantra, or the other thing is the tongue goes to the roof of the mouth, which means there's some energy there, some thoughts are going to the tongue and make it going to the roof of the mouth. The tongue is just supposed to float in the middle of your mouth. The mind, the concentration is not full. Some mental energy, it's called manovritti, some waves of thought are going to the tongue. It's not an easy thing. It's very, very difficult. Don't even try. Because you'll find your tongue is moving. Lord Chaitanya, he didn't chant like that. His tongue was moving. That story is here in Puri. Don't know that story? Oh, yeah, you remember. That's good. So Lord Chaitanya was in Puri in Gambira, and he went to the field or the jungle somewhere to pass urine. And while he was passing, he was holding his tongue. And he was holding his tongue and he's chanting. And there was some boy there moving around the jungle. And he said, hey, Sannyasi Thakur. He doesn't know his name, maybe. He said, Sannyasi Thakur, what are you doing? Ki korbo? Kikorbo, what are you doing? And his little boy, only five or so. He said, oh, little boy, you know, this Mahama, I'm passing your, and this is like contaminated activity here. This is a suchi. And my tongue, I don't want to vibrate the holy name over here. Maybe this is an offense to the holy name. So I'm trying to hold my tongue to keep my tongue from chanting. But my tongue won't stop chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So my tongue is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, like this. So then the boy said, oh, you don't understand. Because many people when they're passing stool or they're passing urine, they die. We could die anytime. There's no guarantee you're going to die and then standing up or sitting down. So there's no guarantee. So the boy told Mahaprabhu, he said, this Mahamantra is pavitra. It purifies anything. Nityam mukta purna shuddho. Of course he didn't say that, but it's purna shuddho. It's completely pure. It's completely pure. This mantra can never be contaminated, so don't worry. So then Lord Chaitanya says, yes, actually you're speaking correctly. That one should always chant the holy name and not worry about impure or pure. They should always chant Hare Krishna. So then he said, what is your name? He said, my name is Gopal. He said, your name is Gopal. Actually, you're like Guru. You're like my Guru. You're Gopal Guru. But he's only a little boy like this. So after some time he grew up and then that name stuck. And of course, he was born in a family of Goswamis. Goswami is the surname of these Pandas and Brahmins and whatnot. He's a Puri Brahmin. So his name became Gopal Guru Goswami. It's a very nice story. So this is not easy to do manasik, but at least you can try to do manasik in an abbreviated way by just keeping your mouth closed. So apparently not making any sound. Tongue may be moving this way, that way. You're not making any sound. And you see that it takes about 12 minutes to chant around. In the beginning, because the mind is so like... mine is like this fat, it's this kind of fat thing that doesn't work very nicely. Yeah, the mind, it's not streamlined. It's not like a like Ferrari car or something. You know, low to the ground, streamlined, zoom. It's like some fat Tata truck or something. The mind is like a Tata lorry, and if you try to chant silently, and really. When you chant silently, you realize how much you have to concentrate in the Maha Mantra. Actually, it's very good to practice chanting silently, and I would recommend it once in a while, or even every day, chant one round silently. Because then you'll see how little you actually are concentrating in the holy name. When you're chanting audibly, which is called Upamsu, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, that sound, the vibration is going on, the sound is going on, you're audibly vibrating the holy name and you're hearing the holy name, but even in that vibration, so many little thoughts are kind of jumping inside that vibration. They're dancing around inside that vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but something's coming inside. But when you actually try to chant silently, just close the lips, you'll see that no vibration got in there because all your mental power has to be concentrated. Am I actually saying every word of the mantra in my mind? Am I mentally saying, pronouncing every, or am I covering or saying or pronouncing or meditating on every syllable the holy name? And you see no extraneous thoughts can come into that when that concentration, it improves the powers of concentration to practice silently. So we had some experience of manasik japa. Of course the udipan or the environmental factor of being on the holy dham of Jagannath Puri on the beach is also quite relaxing and calming also. But try to continue this. Every day chant one round. Every day chant one round of manasik japa. It's going to be very good. So Prabhupada, he used to chant this called Upamsu, which is soft chanting that can only be heard by the sadhaka. Maybe someone's sitting next to you, but It's like whispering type. And Prabhupada, he spoke something about this in one lecture, 1968. At the present moment, the mind is always disturbed, full of anxieties. You cannot concentrate. When you chant loudly, at least you hear the name Krishna. Your mind is immediately turned to Krishna. Immediately associate with Krishna, forcibly. So Prabhupada is speaking here. He's talking about the time element. He's using this word. At the present moment. This is 1968. That means the present moment means ISKCON's 2 years old. And the oldest devotee will be 2 years in the movement. So at that moment, at that present moment, then the mind is always disturbed and full of anxieties, and you can't concentrate. So therefore, chant loudly. So the basic conclusion is, for the beginning devotee, and we don't know what that means, because are we beginning in this life? Or are we beginning in last life? Is this the beginning? We never chanted Hare Krishna before, or we did? So, Prabhupada has mentioned in the letters book, his Shikshamrita, about 8 or 9 letters, he says that all of you have practiced devotion before. Practiced, you've chanted before. So therefore, some devotees, they may come and their mind is not so disturbed. The mind may be peaceful. But if it is disturbed, and it is full of anxieties, then we should chant loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But then after 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, then maybe you chant more softly. And then maybe after 20, 30 years you start chanting in the mind. But whatever works. Whatever keeps you awake and keeps you thinking of Krishna. And we could alternate between these three. A little bit of loud chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Loud chanting, then soft whispering chanting, and then we can do manasik. So I would suggest the students try one round manasik every day. The first round you can do manasik. No, actually, then we may sleep. First few rounds should be loud. 4 rounds loud. 4 rounds whispering, then maybe after that's 8 rounds, so you're a little bit awake. Then you can do 1 round manasik. You start off manasik after waking up. Maybe 2 hours of manasik japa. Sleeping. Because it is a fact, if the eyes are fully closed, that facilitates sleeping. But if they're half open, some light is coming in. And light keeps us awake. I like to close my eyes. I don't usually fall asleep. Close my eyes and concentrate here in this chakra. And relax. Your eyebrows are relaxed. And your forehead. Relax your forehead muscles. Otherwise you get a headache. Good. And fix it in mind on where you put the bindi. And let your lips relax. No one's taking your picture. You don't have to get all tense lips and smile. Just relax. It's like when you sleep at night. You know, you're all drooling and everything.
Basically, you're forgetting the body.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You're remembering Krishna. You're becoming absorbed in Krishna. Well, we're never absorbed. We're keeping our lips ready to smile. Our lips are on pause. Our lips are on hibernation mode. What do they call mode? Standby mode. Our lips are on standby. We're sending a signal from our mind. Lips standby, ready to smile. Ready, go. So there's this built-in tension there. But when you sleep, there's no messages because you're unconscious. So you're like, you sleep like you look like some pig or something. You know, all this junk coming out, and you're looking. And you go like that to the mirror, you go. You look in the mirror and go. Oh. And then you begin, the charade begins. The show, the charade. Games people play. Very little truth in this world. So this is a very interesting section here. It's called the five A's. The five A's in chanting. The five A's in chanting are attraction, attention, absorption, attachment, and affection. Attraction, attention, absorption, attachment, and affection. So this is a technique of chanting japa, which combines an understanding of these five features of the mind and heart. They are also prayers to Sri Nam Prabhu, begging to attain genuine attraction, attention, absorption, attachment, and affection for Krishna's holy names. So the first principle here, the five A's in chanting. Attraction. So we'll read and we'll discuss. The inestimable power, or what you say, unlimited power, of Krishna's attraction acts, it is acting everywhere in creation, from the atoms to the cosmos. The atoms are keeping together, they're attracted to each other, neutrons, protons, there's all this attraction, attractive force, molecular attraction. Then if you look up at the heavens and the universes and the planets, one planet is spinning around another planet, there's all kinds of gravity and all these attractive forces. So all this attraction, this sankarshan or karshati, this is Krishna. This is Krishna's energy. Krishna's energy is full of attraction. The atoms are moving and existing on the basis of attraction. The planets are moving and existing on the basis of attraction. From the invisible movements of the neutrons and electrons to the vast stellar orbits of huge planets and galaxies, Krishna exerts his influence through his power of gravity and attraction. Krishna is the most beautiful and attractive person in all the three worlds. In the spiritual realm, every man, woman, child, bird, beast, insect, tree, plant, lake, river, valley, hill, and mountain feels natural and spontaneous attraction to Krishna's ever-sweet and fresh names, forms, qualities, and pastimes. Despite all these amazing truths, we have no attraction to Krishna's holy names. Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, depicted the plight of the struggling sadhaka in the Shikshastakam. Durdevam idrisham ihajni nan anurag. Anurag nehi. Anurag means intense, ever-fresh attachment. He's saying, Mahaprabhu said, "Oh my Lord Krishna, I am so unfortunate that I have no attachment for chanting your holy names." The following prayer will help increase one's attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. O Krishna, there is so much attraction within me, but why don't I have any attraction to your holy name? I am attracted to so many sweet sounds, so many forms, so many tastes, so many smells and different objects of touch. But all these material attractions pull me further and further away from you. My favorite attractions are in reality nothing but distractions from you. O Krishna, please enchant my heart and captivate my restless mind. Please bless me with the matchless wealth of attraction to your holy names. Isn't it? There's a prayer in Padyavali by Rupa Goswami. He says, just as the mind of a young man is naturally attracted to a young woman, and the mind of a young woman is naturally attracted to a young man, oh my dear Lord, please let my mind be naturally attracted to you. Because that is not our nature. In conditioned life, in material life, in this life, we don't have a natural attraction for Krishna. If we do, the soul has a natural attraction for Krishna. But now, we can't see the soul, we're not aware of the soul. So we have unnatural attractions for everything but Krishna. Unlimited attractions. So this is the first A in chanting, attraction. So how does this act as a technique? We're chanting the holy name, and we don't feel much attraction when we're chanting, and we feel a lot of attraction for other things, our wayward thoughts, our plans, our dreams, and people, places, the things we'll do today, or things we'll do later, things we'll buy today. So our mind is going there, and those attractions. So then we can offer this prayer, oh Krishna, what is this? Hare Krishna. All this attraction in me, but no attraction for you. There's so much. I am a unit. I am a solid unit. A 6-foot bundle or 5-foot bundle, whatever your size is. I'm a 5-foot bundle of attraction. I'm a network of attraction. My eyes, nose, ears, hands, all full of attraction. But I don't find a drop of attraction for you. I don't find a drop of attraction for your names. What's with me? You're so attractive in the spiritual world. People, the birds fall off the trees when they see you. The birds are sitting on the branches and Krishna comes in the forest and says, wow! The birds fall off the trees. What to speak about the gopis? And the celestial ladies are flying in flower airplanes with their husbands and their clothes fall off. Haribo! They're really attracted. It's told in 10th canto. And the gopis, when they don't even see Krishna, they just hear, ooh, 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 ooh. They only hear his flute. And they drop everything. Ah, out of here! Let's go! Jao! Running like 100-yard dash, Olympic run. One earring, makeup, one eye, mascara, half one top lip, lipstick, bottom, nothing. This is attraction. They have it, we don't. They have proper attraction, natural attraction. Like Charles Darwin had his theory of natural selection. That living entities adapt to their environment and then select different habits and cultivate different morphology or forms. Natural selection. So we have to have natural attraction. So then when we're chanting japa, we can say, oh Krishna, your very name, Krishna, means attractive. But hey, what's with it? Where's the attraction? Why aren't you giving me any attraction? Please, Hare Krishna, please give me some attraction. Please, let me, some drops. Let me have some drops of attraction. Let me be attracted to you. So this is like a little prayer. It's a technique of mixing prayer with chanting japa. But it's specified to this principle, this point of attraction. So we can work on that every day. We can take this. This is a technique. This book is full of techniques. This is what the five A's. So they're progressive. It may take a while to become attracted. So we're chanting japa and then we're praying. We begin our japa. Oh Krishna, now I'm going to chant japa. Here we go again. Another day of chanting. 16 rounds. I hope I make it. Krishna, please pray for me. I'm counting on you to pull me through. On my own, I can't do it. It's impossible. I'm powerless. I'm helpless. Oh, Krishna, please help me. So then when we're chanting, we say, Krishna, please bless me. I'm not asking for an ocean of attraction. It's a little too much. I don't deserve that much attraction. But can you please give me one drop of attraction. Today. Right now, while I'm chanting japa, one drop. So we pray, Krishna, and you can even recite this prayer, or make your own prayer, and see what happens. Because movement is based on attraction. No attraction, no movement. So the more we're attracted to Krishna, the more we move to Krishna, then we can really say that we're in the Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness movement. This means a consciousness which is attracted to Krishna moves to Krishna. If your consciousness is not attracted to Krishna, then you don't move to Krishna, you move to Maya. Krishna consciousness movement. So the consciousness must be attracted to Krishna. When the consciousness is attracted to Krishna, then you move. You're attracted to something, some object, some food substance. You see, oh, he's selling samosa. It looks good. I'm attracted. Whoop. How much for the samosa? Oh, 3 for 10 rupees, 1 for 5. 1 for 5, 3 for 10. Hey, give me 3. 10 rupees. Because he's a very good salesman. Because you think, oh, if I spend 5 rupees, I get 1. But if I spend 10, and it's only 3 and a third rupees for 1. Actually, I don't know if I can eat 3. But anyway, so then he squeezes 10 rupees out of us, and we force ourselves to eat 3 rupees, 3 samosas, because we paid for it. This is business. So this is the first of the 5 A's is attraction. So first we have to be attracted to Krishna's holy name. Deeply attracted, strongly attracted. That will get us to the point of trying to chant. Then the next point is calming the mind, fixing the mind, chanting with concentration. This means attention. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says in Harinam Chintamani that, of course, it's not in the original list of 10 offenses. There's 10 offenses in Padma Puran, Skanda Puran. 10 offenses, das nam aparad, 10 aparads, there's 10 offenses. But he's added 11th offense. And the 11th offense is to be inattentive. I think everyone knows this. To be inattentive, to not chat with attention. To be inattentive to the holy name. This is the 11th offense, which Bhaktivinoda added. And then, taking this offense, he discusses this principle in Madhurya Kadambani, Harinam Chintamani. And he says, this offense, inattention, is the root cause, the basis or the root cause of the other 10. Inattention. So this second of the 5 A's, attraction, is attention. So please give me your attention. What is the meaning of attention? Attention means steady application of the mind, or focusing the consciousness on a particular subject. Whatever one focuses his attention on becomes deeply impressed in the mind. Although the mind can move from one object to another with fantastic speed, Vedic Shastras and modern science concur or agree that the mind can only do one thing at a time. This is called the single idea principle of the mind. For example, if one is reading an exciting book with full attention, he will not hear the sounds in the surrounding environment. Attention is related to interest. You heard that? You were attentive? Attention is related to what? Huh? Interest or attraction. There is full attention in a pleasing object. In a few hours we will take Jagannath Mahaprasad. So how much attention will be there? Somebody can call you, telephone, cell phones ringing, hum, hum, hum. People calling, Ravinder, Ravinder. Don't you hear someone call it? No, I didn't hear it. So there's full attention in a pleasing object. Something that's pleasing to us, we're fully attentive to it. And we're sitting in Bhagavatam class. It's a necessary function, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And of course, when we become advanced, we actually relish the Bhagavatam. But maybe we're not so much, we don't find it so pleasing. So, we're not so attentive. In Bhagavatam class, because it's not so pleasing, so we're not so attentive. But then you go down to the prasadam room, 2 hours later, 9 o'clock. And no one is sleeping there. I've never seen anyone sleeping in prasadam room. Everyone's very attentive. Because they're in the presence of a very pleasing object. Prasadam is very pleasing. But there is very little attention in a tasteless object. It is difficult for the mind to focus on an uninteresting object. It is often very difficult to keep one's attention on the holy name while chanting japa. This is because the mind is not trained to bear prolonged attention. The mind is not trained. We're not trained in meditation. We're not trained in dhyanam. We're not yogis, we're bogies. We're trained in boga. Enjoying. We're enjoyers. This is our nature. So the mind doesn't have any samskaras for this. The mind gets bored with the monotony of japa and runs to more interesting and more pleasing things. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh. Looking something pleasing, listening something pleasing, thinking something pleasing, contemplating something pleasing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, okay, I chatted for 1 hour. Now I'm thinking, what about breakfast? So now breakfast comes in my japa. And the second hour of japa is japa plus breakfast. Japa plus prasadam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Well, yesterday we had flat rice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Maybe, but you know, maybe the cook will make khichdi today. I would really like to have some khichdi. I feel like khichdi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I wonder if he'll make chutney also. Hare Krishna. That tomato chutney was good last week. It was really good chutney. Hare Krishna. So the 8 rounds go this way. More pleasing subject. By increasing one's interest or taste in japa, one will be able to chant attentive japa. This can be accomplished by practicing the various meditation techniques given in this book. An advertisement. By the following prayer, or let's say try the following prayer. This is a prayer to try to increase our attention. O Krishna, Thakur Bhaktivinod has warned us that inattention is the main door into the house of aparads. So if you want to enter the house of aparads, this is the doorway. Inattention. O Krishna, please let me taste some pleasure in your names so I can focus my full attention on chanting. May your holy names become deeply impressed in my mind. Like some people, they get tattoos, or maybe you have tattoos. Some of the young people, they have tattoos. It's quite popular these days. And the younger generation, younger set. Some tattoo, I love mom. Back in the 50s and 60s in America, only truck drivers and sailors would get tattoos done. Now it's any kind of person, hip people that get tattoos, and the Sringadeva. So this prayer, the holy name should become deeply impressed on my mind like a tattoo. In the old days, if you wanted to be a Vaishnava in the Madhva Sampradaya, you had to get your arms tattooed. Not tattooed, but branded. They would take a brass piece of brass on a rod, and they would heat it up in wood. And that piece of brass was shaped like a conch shell. A conch shell and a chakra. And then you take your shirt off, and they heat it up in the fire, that hot brass thing, and they put it on your arm. And then it's like you get a shot, you get so many shots in your arm, vaccination leaves some scar. But on your arm you have a chakra, and you have a What did I say?
Shankha.
Shankh and chakra. Conch shell and disc. And then when you came to the temple, when you go in the South Indian temples, men aren't allowed to wear a shirt. So then they can see whether you're Vaishnava or not. You don't have that symbol, you're out. They don't let you in. Indelible. You can't remove that. So this is... Now we have just tilak. Sometimes we write the names of the Lord on our chest or something. So this... The analogy, I'm using this analogy that the holy name, we should pray to Krishna that I can chant with attention, that your holy name will be impressed in my mind. Like that iron. You heat up the... You pretend the holy name is like... you write the holy name. Write the Maha Mantra on a piece of brass and heat it up in the fire. And open the top of your head. Open it. Zip. Unzip your head. Open the top. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Then we may become like Lord Chaitanya. He became mad chanting the holy name. This is in Adi Lila chapter 7, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole description. How he went mad chanting the holy name. And he went back to his guru and said, what kind of mantra have you given me? This Maha Mantra you gave me, it's made me mad. I'm just chanting day and night, I can't stop. And ecstatic symptoms are coming to me. I'm sometimes crying, rolling on the ground. My hair standing on end. I don't know what's happening to me. I'm losing my balance. I'm losing my mind. And I went back to my guru, Ishwarpuri, and I revealed my mind to him and said, this is my condition. This mantra you have given me has driven me mad. And my guru said, yes, very good. Very, very good. The medicine is taking full effect. There's no need for you to study Vedanta. There's no need for you to study any Vedic Shastras. All the conclusions are there in the holy name. All the Tattva Siddhanta is there in the holy name. Yes, my son. Yes, my child. You go on chanting like this. Chant, chant, chant. Become more and more mad. Lose yourself. Immerse yourself in the holy name. So this was the reply. This was the reply that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Prakashananda Saraswati when this Mayavadi sannyasi acharya was asking Mahaprabhu, you're a sannyasi, you've taken initiation, why aren't you studying Vedanta Sutra? Why are you dancing like a madman in the street with the common people? And this is the reply he gave. I'm simply following my guru Agya. My guru told me I'm not fit to study Vedanta. I should only chant this Maha Mantra. So I'm following him. And actually this is the conclusion of all the Vedas. It's to chant the holy name with love. This is the perfection of all the Vedas. And Lord Chaitanya went on to preach to them. That's an Adi Leela. Where is this scene? So now the third point is absorption. Absorption means to incorporate as... What is the meaning of absorption? Absorption means to incorporate as part of oneself, to be obsessed, or to fully occupy and saturate the mind in something. To be absorbed in something means to fully saturate the mind in something. That's called absorption. Absorption is a feature of our daily lives. Every day we become absorbed in sleeping. Very nice. Very tightly, very deeply, very soundly, very peacefully. Ah. Every day we become absorbed in eating a delicious meal, or we become absorbed in reading a wonderful book. But for some reason, it is very difficult to become absorbed in japa. Repeating the following prayer will help one get absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. Quite an interesting prayer. You may formulate your own prayers, but the idea is this: is, we want to become absorbed. At least try, even I, sometimes when we're giving classes in this subject matter, we take a break and say, let's try to chant one round and really try to get absorbed. And to the exclusion of anything else. Or even you can, on your own free time, You can take this sankalpa or this vow that, oh Krishna, this one round I'm really going to concentrate. I'm really going to fix my mind and consciousness on your holy name. I'm not going to go anywhere else. This one round I'm really going to get absorbed. And then chant one round like that. So here's the prayer, or some prayer to become absorbed. O Krishna, while chanting your holy names, may I enter the limitless land of consciousness, completely oblivious to the body and its surroundings. May my soul become immersed in the primordial vibration of divine union. Let this Maha Mantra of Mahabhav surround and penetrate every aspect of my being. One with your desires, one with your love, O Krishna, may I completely absorb myself in serving your holy names. O Krishna, please help me to become fully absorbed in chanting your holy names. Very nice prayer. You read this prayer? Are you absorbed? Any questions on absorption? This is a statement of a lady that's been chanting, one lady devotee who's been chanting 64 rounds a day for 20 years. So her conclusion is 64 rounds a day for 20 years. Her conclusion is, unless we love the holy name, which means Krishna basically, we can't be absorbed. So it looks like a hopeless situation. Who can say we love Krishna? Who can say we love the holy name? But this is her understanding. So obviously, if you're in love with someone, you're absorbed. So we have to make that someone Krishna. Krishna has to be that lovable object, or that object of our love. This is Krishna. Prabhupada is telling in this, Prabhupada wrote this essay called Reservoir of Pleasure. Maybe you've seen that in your language, Reservoir of Pleasure. So everyone's looking for someone to love. We have to find the right object to repose our love. Where to put our love? In wife, in husband, in man and woman, in dog and cat, in country, in business, or in money, money. Where to put our love? The Prabhupada is saying, if we find that right object of love, who is Krishna, then we'll be fully satisfied there. So we can begin to love Krishna by loving Guru. Sometimes Gurus aren't very lovable. Krishna's lovable. Sometimes Gurus are a little tough. Krishna's always sweet, but Gurus can be like, tough. Yeah, they're tough out of love. Prabhupada used to say that. Said I only chastise my advanced devotees. Those that are advanced in a close relationship with me, I can chastise them. But those that are weak, whose faith is weak, I have to be careful with them. They're like china, like very fine glass. I have to handle very carefully. Absorption. So we have attraction, attachment, and absorption. Now the fourth of the five A's is attachment. Attachment is a precursor, which means preliminary. It comes before bhav. Attachment means asakti. There's anartanivrti, then ruchi, then nishtha, then ruchi, then asakti, then bhava, then prema. So attachment is a precursor or preliminary to love of God. Upon reaching the threshold of bhava bhakti, an advanced devotee becomes extremely attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna with great joy and enthusiasm. So an advanced devotee becomes extremely attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna with great joy and enthusiasm. So this is a sign of advancement, that we take pleasure in hearing about Krishna. We take pleasure in chanting Krishna's name. Of course, we're chanting Krishna's name for His pleasure. We're not stockbrokers. We're not stockbrokers. We're not selling stocks or buying stocks. We're not doing business with Krishna. Our business is to serve Krishna. Our business is to give Krishna the pleasure. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakta Uttama. To act favorably for Krishna's happiness. But we find that when we're chanting with this mood of giving Krishna pleasure, that we feel very satisfied. We feel very pleased. We're not trying to take anything from Krishna. We're trying to give everything to Krishna. Krishna, be pleased. Let my chanting be attentive. Let my chanting be full of feeling. Let my chanting be full of love and sentiments. Be pleased with my chanting. Oh my Lord, Krishna, please accept my chanting. Be pleased. It's for your pleasure. That the Shastras are telling us. You're telling us in the Shastra that you like to hear your holy name. We also like to hear our name. It's our nature. If we say, oh, Krishna Das, he's a good guy. Oh yeah, I'm a good guy. Sounds like our minds when we're trying to chant Hare Krishna. We're trying to chant Hare Krishna, our minds are mind, be quiet. Now accept this holy name. Absorb yourself in this holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hey, boom. That's what did Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati say? In the morning we should beat our mind 100 times with a stick. He says when you wake up you should beat the mind, tong, 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 100 times with a stick. So he's doing this camel is our mind. The camel of our mind, refusing to obey the order of the trainer. So the mind is not obeying our orders, so we have to beat the mind with a stick. On the evening, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, before we take rest, we should beat the mind with a shoe 100 times. Because now it's nighttime and we're lazy and we're about to sleep and all funny thoughts may come or funny dreams or plans, so we should beat the mind. Okay, let me dream of Krishna, let me think of Guru, let me remember some shlokas, let me remember some pastime of Krishna. Like the Karmis, if they can't sleep, then they count sheep. They count sheep jumping over a fence. I remember when I was little in America, I'd say, oh, Mommy, I can't sleep. She said, now listen, you think in your mind, think there's a fence. There's some fence there, right? And it's a farm. And there's a bunch of sheep. And the sheep have come there. Little sheep, little animal, you know, sheep. Sweater. So then each one is jumping over the fence. And you're counting them. One sheep. Two sheep. And three. Very silly, funny thing. So we don't want to count sheep to go to sleep. But we want to count the holy name. So many devotees, including ourselves, we keep our beads. Our beads are with us in a bed. We go to bed with our beads. Once I was giving a class making a joke, and I was saying that every night I go to bed with 109 girls. Were you there? I said, what? You're a sannyasi? And every night you're going to bed, I mean, one would be out of the question, one would be, forget it. 109? I said, yes, and they're very young. And they're all like 14, 15 years old. Acha? I'm calling the GBC. So who are these 109 teenagers? Teenagers. I said, well, there's 108 gopis in my japa mala. And there's Radharani and Krishna. So Radharani's 109. It's 109 gopis. So when I go to bed, if I'm not thinking of some pastime or whatever, then I have my beats, I'm chanting. So oftentimes I fall asleep like this. You know. My beads are always with me in that bed. I have 2 sets. One that's always in my kutir and one I move around with here and there. Those are my sleeping beads. Sleeping, waking, everything. I channel my initiation beads. I don't take them outside. I keep them there. So now we're talking about attachment. And we said that an advanced devotee automatically becomes attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna. He finds pleasure there. Although he's not a pleasure seeker, he's a servant. He's seeking service. He's seeking the pleasure of Krishna. In the material world, you say, oh, he's a pleasure seeker. He's seeking pleasure. Everyone is seeking pleasure for themselves, or what they call themselves. It means their body, bodily pleasure. Body pleasure. But really, pleasure seekers, seeking pleasure for the self, means to offer yourself for the pleasure of the Supreme Self. Offering yourself for the pleasure of Krishna. This is real pleasure, fulfillment. So a devotee, he's a giver, not a taker. He's giving everything for the pleasure of Krishna. But materialists, non-devotees, they're takers. They want to take. Take from nature. Take from you. Take from me. Take from others. It's called exploitation. Consumerism. Consumers, they want to consume. I want to eat you. I want to consume you for my pleasure. Consume you for my happiness. Consumer generation. Consumption. Consumption means taking. Consumption means exploitation. Consumption means envy. Consumption means hatred. This is the antithesis of the spiritual world. Spiritual world is based on giving. Dedication. Dedication, giving. Dedicating to others. Dedicating, in this case, everyone dedicated to Krishna. Everyone giving to Krishna. No one drawing anything. No one taking anything. Everyone giving. Here, everyone's a taker. Everyone's drawing from nature. Everyone's taking from nature. No one's giving. But there, and this is funny because this is the opposite nature of the Atma. The body's the nature of this physical body is to take, to exploit, to consume. But it's the opposite. The nature of the soul is to give, to dedicate, to serve. Dedication, service, giving, giving. And Krishna, he is the Supreme Soul. And he's giving. He's only giving. And when he's giving, everyone in the spiritual world is being sustained by Krishna's love. He's distributing his love to everyone. To the birds, to the land, to the trees, to the gopas, to the gopis, to his mother, father, nurses, everyone. He's giving. He's just giving. If they're in trouble, he helps them. If their legs are sore, he massages them. If they're hungry, he feeds them. He's only giving. This is the nature of God. This is the transcendental nature. The absolute reality is based on giving. This is love. Love is the opposite of envy. Giving, dedication. So then when Krishna is the ultimate giving principle, and Radharani is the ultimate giving principle, and when they combine together, then they come into this world as Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha and Krishna. So when he came into this world, what did he Krishna Prema Pradayate. Pradayate means everyone take. Take this Krishna Prema. Don't settle for less. You can have, this is your birthright as a human being. You can accept this. I'm giving it. Take it, take it. He's giving freely. And since we're takers, that's our nature to take. We should take this. Or we're taking all the wrong things and leaving that. You keep your prema, I don't want it. I'm busy taking all these other mayak things. Gifts of maya. Offerings of maya. So this is attachment. So there's a prayer for developing attachment to chanting. I mean, you can have your own prayer, but this is a sample. Oh Krishna, by nature, I am attached to so many wrong things. Please help me transfer my attachment. Please help me transfer all my attachments to your lotus feet. Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayor. Oh my Lord, may chanting Hare Krishna become an inseparable part of my life. In other words, my life, inseparable means you're attached. You're attached to something, you can't separate yourself from that object of attachment. Super glue, right? You put some super glue on something and they're stuck. They're immovable, they're inseparable, you can't separate them. You try to separate them, both will be destroyed. The two objects you glued together with super glue, if you try to separate them, they'll be destroyed. The objects. So this is the meaning of inseparable. So we're praying to Krishna's holy name. I want to be, that's a kind of attachment. I want you to become inseparable part of my life. Please help me to chant your holy names with pure attachment. Pure attachment. So this is the five A's in chanting. Attachment. Attraction, attention, absorption, attachment. The final A of chanting Hare Krishna is affection. So attachment, of course, is the equivalent of a sakti. And affection means bhav. Chanting with bhav. Affection means fond feelings, devotion, and love. The goal of chanting Hare Krishna is to chant Shuddha Nam, the pure name, enriched with Krishna Prem and the presence of the Lord. So this is the goal, that we will chant the holy name purely, Shuddha Nam, and our name will be enriched. It will be enriched with Prema, Prem Nam, and the presence of the Lord. Because at the level of Prem, there is no difference between Krishna's name, form, qualities, Leela, everything is there. At this level. May the following prayer awaken our love for beautiful Krishna standing before us as Sri Nam Prabhu. Krishna standing before us. Or maybe he's lying down. He's lying down in our bead bag. O Krishna, may I chant your holy names with heartfelt emotion. When will I become charmed by the ambrosia of your names and start chanting from the heart? O Krishna, please help me to chant with sincere feelings of affection for you, for Radhika, and for your holy names. Please show me the way to chant with genuine affection, ripening in pure love. Now this is a summary of all the 5 points in one prayer. Attraction, attention, absorption, attachment and affection, all rolled into one prayer. O Krishna, please attract my mind and heart to your holy names. May I chant with full attention, and may I quickly become absorbed in the nectarian taste of your names. May the sweet charm of your names drive out all distractions and fully enchant my heart. Please give me strong attachment to your wonderful names. Please be merciful to me and help me rise to the platform of genuine affection and pure love for you. These are the 5 A's and chanting Hare Krishna. Kabe bolo. Kabe habe bolo se dinamar aparada guchi shudaname ruchi kripa bale habe ridoye sanchar kabe habe bolo se dinamar. Please tell me, when or when will that day be mine? My offenses will come to an end and taste. For the pure holy name will be infused within my heart by the power of divine grace. Kripa bale habe ridaya sanchar. Sanchar. Like a sanskar, sanchar. It will be infused in my heart by kripa bale, by this mercy, mercy of the Guru, mercy of the Lord, and mercy of the Vaishnavas. Any comment on that? These 5 A's? You gave us some ideas that we can't be absorbed. Absorption is number 3. We can't be absorbed unless we're number 5, affection. You said that we can't be absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna, truly absorbed until we love Krishna. If we love our girlfriend, then in the screen of our mind will be the picture of our girlfriend. Who's our girlfriend? Our girlfriend is Radharani. And if you're, and who's the boyfriend that's in the screen of the girl's mind? Krishna. So we should have Radha Govinda in the screen of our mind. Chanting begins with faith. Ado Shraddha Tata Sarasanga Bhajana Kriya Narta Devati Tata Nishta. Feelings of humility, feelings of worthlessness, feelings of, when one actually understands his precarious position and his minute size in this world and how insignificant that he really is as a tiny jiva, then he can truly call out to the Lord with humility. Genuine feelings of humility based on the realization of our true identity. When we study Shravana Dasha, when we hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we attain spiritual knowledge. With that spiritual knowledge, we understand the infinitude of our identity, how infinitesimal we actually are, how tiny and small we really are. And with that understanding, on the basis of understanding, we can actually call out to the Lord with humility. Oh, what am I? What am I? I'm so tiny, I'm so small. I can be eliminated. One little thing this big, boom, I'm finished. A vitamin is sometimes these long vitamins are this big, some long type, big type vitamin, multiple vitamin. And you put it inside and become healthy. But the same thing, this long, if it's a bullet, 28 millimeter bullet, tong. Same size as a vitamin. We're finished. This is how the mafia kills you in India. They come up, they have a little pistol like a boom. In America, I don't know about India. The mafia, they usually do like that. They get in a car with you or whatever and they're sitting with you and they boom. And they go outside the town, they throw your body out and go. So we're very fragile. And this 28 millimeters can finish us. And how tall are we? 180 centimeters? How tall? How tall are you? 177, 180, 180 centimeters tall, and 28 millimeters can finish you. Khatam ho gaya. Hari bol. Try again. Better luck next time. Better luck next time. So don't wait for the next time. Be now in this time. Take advantage of this time. Don't wait for next time, take advantage of this time. Right now, become Krishna conscious. Sometimes when I understand, you said, sometimes when I chant Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, or just in general, I feel some absorption, and I feel some attachment, affection for Krishna's name, and some loving sentiments coming in my heart, and some softening in my heart, and maybe even some alligator tears, or some kind of fake water, some kind of fake water coming in my eyes. Kind of like Sahajiya drops. Some Sahajiya drops come in my eyes. Sahajiya eye drops. Whatever. And of course that's nice, that's a good thing. But then that feeling, that mood, that feeling, it quickly dissipates or evaporates. Yeah, if you hear some bad deed of some other person or some... Or a good deed... Anyway, you hear about somebody else. There's advancement or they're getting glorified, then you feel some pinch in your heart. You feel like somebody's taking some pliers and they're pinching my heart. Oh. Why he's getting recognized? Why not me? The only thing I can say is keep chanting Hare Krishna. Because that's the only thing that can change our nature is Krishna's holy name. And all these non-devotional feelings or bad feelings are just extraneous nature. It's not really us. We should think, this is not me. This is not really me. This envy is not me. This bad feelings, this pinching is not me. I am an agent of love. I'm really made of love. And all this envy has somehow been stuck on me. It's been stuck on me from last life. or this life. It's not really me, Krishna, and I don't want this. Why is this coming, Krishna? Why? I know it's in me, but Krishna, now take it out of me once and for all. Why can't I love this person? I can just easily switch, I can change the switch. I can take the electricity, I can plug in an air conditioner to the wall with the same electricity, or I can plug in a heater with the same electricity. So why can't I change the switch, turn off the envy switch and turn on the love switch? It's the same switch. With all the energy I'm using for envy and all the feelings and thoughts I have for envy, I can use the same energy to love, to honor, to serve, to appreciate. Same electricity, same source. The living being is the source of the energy. So the living being is the source of the envy. The living being is the source of the love. So make the switch, turn the switch. Hey Krishna, hey, what is this? What is this bad program came on? Everything was nice. The room was nice and cool. My brain was cool. My heart was happy. I was feeling some sentiments. Then all of a sudden, the air conditioner broke. The air conditioner broke and it got really hot in here. It's up to 50 degrees. 50 degrees centigrade. It's really getting hot. My head's getting hot. I feel envy. And I don't like this guy, that guy. What's happening here? And then you have to plug in your air conditioner again. You say, Krishna, what is this? Take this. This is not me. Out. Envy. Out. Jao. Please remove this envy. So Krishna will help. We have no other friend but Krishna. Who can do the impossible? Krishna can do the impossible. Lord Chaitanya cleaned the Gundicha temple. And he gathered all his associates. So the heart is like the Gundicha. This is told in the Madhya Lila. Our heart's like Gundicha, so we had to take shelter of Krishna's associates, Chaitanya's associates. And with that type of jealousy, jealousy based on Krishna, which increases your Krishna consciousness, this is the spiritual form of jealousy. But jealousy based on the body, which decreases your Krishna consciousness, is material jealousy. Because this type of these feelings, which you're calling jealousy, I'm not even sure it's proper, but we see that there is transcendental jealousy in the spiritual world. And one gopi sees, oh, then Krishna, he asks Radharani, oh Radharani, did you make this garland? No, Naina Mani Mandri made this garland. Acha, it's so beautiful garland. So now some other Mandris are serving Radharani and they're massaging her feet. And Krishna's glorifying Naina Mani Mandri. Oh, she made such a nice garland. So then that Mandri goes to her guru, Sakhi. Says, oh, Nayana Mani Mandri made such a beautiful garland for Radharani that Krishna was glorifying that garland. Oh, really? How was that garland? Oh, it was like this, like that. Oh, we have to, come on, let's gather some flowers and get so many Tulsi Mandris. We have to make even better garland. Longer garland, fatter garland, more fragrant garland. So this is Krishna. This, you could say, is a type of jealousy that they, oh, she made better than me. Then let me make better than her. Healthy competition. It seems like the basis of the competition is some jealousy or envy. Oh, you made better garland for Radharani than me. Oh, I had to do better than you. But Prabhupada said this is transcendental competition. Transcendental competition. Because the center is still Krishna. But envy, material envy and jealousy, the center is me or you. My body or your body. And envy is the via medium between the two. But in the spiritual world, the center is Krishna. And my spiritual body, your spiritual body, we're both endeavoring to increase the pleasure of the center. So your friend was chanting outside Hare Krishna and you couldn't sleep. And you felt some jealousy. Oh, you're chanting Hare Krishna, which means you're associating with Krishna. And I'm associating with my pillowcase. So what is this? Pillowcase can't compare to Krishna. I'm about to go to sleep on my bed. I'm embracing my pillowcase. And if I take up my beads, I can embrace Krishna's holy name. And she's embracing Krishna, and I'm stuck with this pillowcase. Forget about this pillowcase. I'll chant also. I'll go out there and join her. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And I'll chant even better than she does. And I'll inspire her to chant even more enthusiastically. Yeah, there's no ego there. There's only one ego there. Ego means identity. Everyone's identity. There's only one identity. Collective identity. Jivera Sarupaya, Krishnara Nitya Das. Das, Das, and a Das. There's only one ego, there's no two egos. Everywhere center, nowhere circumference. This is the center. Everywhere center, no circumference. But if I'm the center, then this is my circumference. And you're the center, this is your circumference. So in the material world, everywhere is circumference. There's no one center. In the spiritual world, everywhere is center, no circumference. Because Krishna's there. And everyone's mind and hearts are dedicated to the center. So there's no second center. There's only one center. The center is Krishna. Everywhere the center, nowhere circumference. Krishna's there and everyone's with Krishna. It's not, I'm here and I have my circle. Even we have a phrase called circle of interest. My circle of interest in business or whatever. Circle of friend. They have magazines. I remember a magazine when I was a kid called Family Circle. It was a magazine for housewives. Family Circle. The circle of interest. I have my circle of interest. You have your circle of interest. And I am the center of interest. I am the center of my circle of interest. Me. Me, me, and me. Aham mameti. I and mine. But in the spiritual world, everyone had the mamta is Krishna is mine. Everyone's thinking Krishna is mine, and Krishna is thinking I am theirs. Aham mameti. I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. So there's a oneness. Everyone's connected with Krishna's desire. So this is the beauty of the spiritual world. When you speak nice things, good things about people, then good things come to you. So now this technique is called Maha Mantra Tratak. Tratak. This is employing a yoga technique where a yogi will, as we say, the mind of the yogi is as steady as a candle burning in a windless place. If you go in a room where you close all the windows and doors, there's no draft, there's no wind, no draft, you burn a candle, then the candle will burn straight, the flame will burn straight. Right? You light a candle, a wombati, and it will burn straight. It won't go this way, that way. It'll burn steadily. So the yogi's mind is like this, it's steadily fixed on one point. Like a candle in a windless place. So to facilitate this fixation of mind and this concentration of the mind, oftentimes the yogis, they will sit in a small room, in a windless room, and they'll physically put a candle there and they'll light it. And they'll stare at the candle, but not strain. You can't strain your eyes. We did this before when we were practicing yoga. If you can become cross-eyed. You have to do pranayama and relax your mind, and just you look at the flame. And what's happening is your eyes are actually seeing two. Right eye is seeing one image of the flame, left is seeing another. Then the two images merge in the mind, become one. And that's why you see one candle. Otherwise, you see two or three or whatever. So as you're staring and you're chanting Om or whatever and doing pranayama, then you're constant. This is called tratak. That this staring at this candle flame helps you, your mind become one pointed. It's a practice to enter samadhi. So this technique of yoga has entered into Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but rather than staring at a candle flame, they take the Maha Mantra and they put it on a piece of paper. And they put it on the wall at eye level in front of them, like this. This is a Maha Mantra in Hindi. And they put it on the wall where they're sitting and chanting japa, they put it there on the wall at their eye level. And if you don't know Hindi, then you can try English. It'll be better. So they put this at eye level, and they chant japa, and they stare at it. Because the syllables, the akshara, the Hare Krishna, the syllables of the holy name are actually Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna's sarup, their form is there. Although it looks like some some Hindi or some English, some Arabic printing, it's actually Radha and Krishna are there. Hare is Radha and Krishna is Krishna. So many, many Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they chant their japa like this. You may know or don't know, but it's a very good technique to concentrate the mind. You just look. You're chanting Hare Krishna and you're looking Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Because the eyes are feeding, the eyes feed this image to the mind. So the mind has to process that image. Otherwise the mind is busy processing other thoughts. So the mind has to think of that image and process that image. Then you're chanting, so you're hearing the chanting and you're staring. And the mind can't really go out here and there. So it's a very good technique for concentration. So we can read this little description here. I gave a summary of it. Often, the restless mind pushes a sadhak to engage in sightseeing japa. Sightseeing, seeing the sights. Oh, look at that guy riding the wave. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, look at that dolphin out there. Oh, look at that porpoise. Hey, look at that lady over there. Wow, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Whatever. Look at that camel. When this happens, in other words, there's no concentration there, there's no attention there, there's no absorption there, there's no dhyan, there's no meditation, there's no samadhi, it's just... When this happens, sightseeing japa, the holy name transforms into background music to accompany one's primary engagement of surveying the various colors and shapes of the landscape. Colors and shapes of the landscape. Colors and shapes, you know. Or whatever. Colors and shapes. So it's... That's why in 6th chapter of Gita, Krishna's telling the yogi, he meditates with half-closed eyes. Half-closed. You can only... Light is coming in. Light is coming in so you don't sleep. But you can't see any object because your peripheral vision is only right here in front of you. There's something you can just... You see something here. But all that's here is just you. Your knees or your mala. As soon as you look horizontally or laterally, then so many objects come in your field of vision. Maha Mantra Tratak. So this sightseeing, the inattentive chanter thus slips into distraction and commits nam aparad. Fixing the eyes on a mantra card helps prevent this. Mantra card, everyone knows what a mantra card is? Some card with the mantra written on it. This is a mantra card, mantra paper, whatever. So I already described how to do it. I gave a summary. This is a quotation from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The first section of Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami, chapter 1, verse 9. This is his commentary on that verse. Sanatana Goswami wrote this book and then he also wrote commentaries on his own verses. Because this is the praman, Vedic praman. This is the evidence or proof given for this practice of Maha Mantra Tratak, this system or technique of meditating on the syllables of the holy name. Although we normally think of chanting as the business of the tongue, all of one's conscious faculties can be engaged with Harinam. So conscious faculties means our mind and senses, to put it simply. Our eyes can be engaged in Harinam, our nose, our mouth, our tongue, our hands, our sense of touch, smell, hearing, all these five senses in the mind can be engaged in chanting Hare Krishna. And generally we think that chanting only engages my tongue, Hare Krishna in my ears. So how does this work? The mind can contemplate the syllables of the Lord's name and their meaning. So the mind is thinking the syllables, akshar, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the meaning, what is the meaning? And we discussed the different meanings. The senses can interact with the holy name each in their own way. Speech and hearing, the ears and the tongue, are obviously involved in hearing and chanting the holy name. The sense of touch can also feel the name written in clay on one's body or on a mantra card. So this is something like Braille. Braille is the language of the blind people. They have these little perforations in a piece of paper. A piece of paper has little perforations and holes in it, and it represents A or B or whatever. So they rub their finger over it, and then they understand what's being spoken there by this finger reading. So this, our finger, or let's say left finger, I suppose, or even right finger, you can move your finger over the Maha Mantra. It's written down. It's written on the mantra card. You can move your finger over it. So now the sense of touch, besides touching the Japa Mala, your other hand can be moving over the Maha Mantra. The sense of touch, or because people write the holy name on their body, many Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they write, they have some stamp, they stamp on their forehead, Radhe Shyam, or Hare Krishna, or they write on their chest, Jai Shri Radhe, Radhe Radhe. They write with clay, Tilak, Radhakun Tilak, or Gopichan. They write in Bengali or Hindi, Hare Krishna. So while you're chanting, you can just take your fingers and feel, oh, Hare Krishna. This is not what Goswami is telling. The sense of touch can also feel the name. Feel the name. Usually we hear the name, we speak the name. Hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. Nam Shravan, Nam Kirtan. But we can also feel the name. The eyes can see the name written in various places on a mantra card. And the hands and legs can work to carry a banner inscribed with the holy name on it. When we go on Harinam, Sankirtan, at least in the West, I don't know about India, but we would have some sign with Maha Mantra on a stick, and we would carry that sign with the Maha Mantra written on, or some cloth or some banner. And two devotees carry it, and they go down the street. Please chant, chant with us. Hare Krishna, Krishna, and your life will be sublime, or your life will be perfect. And that they're going down the sidewalk. You do like that? Some card, whatever. So then, who's ever doing that, his legs are engaged in serving the holy name, because he's carrying that banner. His legs are chanting Hare Krishna. Usually you sit down, your legs go to sleep. Your legs are engaged in chanting Hare Krishna, and your arms. So he's telling that all the senses. So this is one technique that we can employ. We can try this technique of Maha Mantra Tratak. That we, if we have this book, we can photocopy this page, or we can cut this out. It's been supplied here for the reader's use. You can cut it out. You can laminate it. Maybe you have, I think this book is in Russian also. Maybe you know Russian. Do you know Russian? No. Anyway, you translate it in Romanian. It's in Russian language and Bengali and coming in Hindi and some different languages. But you can, anyway, regardless of that, you can photocopy this in Hindi or English and laminate it with plastic. And you can get some blue tack, this sticky stuff, like putty or clay. Put it there in your kutir. Overall, it's better if it's straight, because if you're sitting straight and looking straight, then the proper flow of kundalini, the susumna nerve is a psychic nerve that goes up the spinal column. So if you're looking down like this, you're breaking, it's like you have a water hose, you know, a pipe or a hose, you're watering your lawn. And then someone comes and bends it. They bend it in half. What happens to the water? It's restricted. It doesn't come out. You have a water hose and the water's coming. It's plastic. And you bend it in half. And then it doesn't come out. So this susumna nadi, it's called susumna nadi. Nadi means river, river, channel, channel. It's going from the Mula Chakra, from the bottom of the spine, it goes up to the head. So when you bend like this, then you break the flow, the susumna, the energy. So you become tired, and you don't get this it's a whole development, but you don't get the actual flow of the energy, the psychic energy. It's called Kundalini Shakti. So when you're sitting straight, and then you're looking, that's on the wall, that'll force you, because you're looking at eye level. Then when you're chanting, then you can have the maximum energy for concentration and absorption. Use the physical energy. But if you're sitting in a chair, and if it's down like this, the tendency is to bend your back, then to bend your knee, and you're like this. Because the Maha Mantra is lying on the table, so you have to look down, so then your neck goes, then that's why you go like this. Sona Chalu. Sleeping. I suggest everyone try this technique. It's very good. It's very much used in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Literally, thousands and thousands of sadhakas and very advanced devotees who are on very high level of consciousness, they regularly practice chanting a Maha Mantra like this. In Bengali, usually Bengali, this is Hindi. It's very helpful. It's a well-known practice in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But maybe for Western people that don't live in India or don't move around, it's like, well, what? This is something different. My recommendation is Kirtaniya Sadahari. Chinadapi Sanichena Tarori Vasahishana Amanina Manidena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Satatam Kirtiyanta Mam Yatantascha Dridavrata. Krishna says in Gita, Dridabrat. Satatam Kirtiyanta Mam. We should always be chanting Krishna's name. Attentively, inattentively, jokingly, seriously, sleepingly, lying on the bed, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, eating the food, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hey, Hare Krishna, hey, beautiful girl, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hey, beautiful man, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Everywhere, Hare Krishna. Obviously, it's not best, it's not ideal, but it is good. Holy name is always good. The question is that if a devotee has taken a sankalp, or taken a vow to chant a fixed number of rounds every day for the pleasure of the Lord.
No, my question was if he wants to chant more than usually. Like
yes.
If his sankalpa is finished. Let's say he wants to chant 32, he finished that. And then
yes.
He's chanting like 40, 50. And then kirtan is going on. So the devotees are inviting him, stop chanting japa, go for kirtan. And he wants to remain chanting japa. So should he feel guilty that he is rejecting congregational chanting for the sake of continuing japa, or he should actually take congregational because congregational is more recommended?
Krishna is there in japa, and Krishna is also there in kirtan. So when you're chanting japa, then Krishna will guide you. You say, Krishna, do you want me to serve you in japa right now or in kirtan? And you just, everyone's pulling you this way, that way. You say, yes, yes, I'm just now coming. I'm just now coming. Indian program, just now coming. Use the famous Indian mantra. Yes, yes, I'm just now coming. So then you chant and say, Krishna, I'm existing for your pleasure. I am your sevite. Das, das, and adas. I don't have my separate agenda from you. It's not what I want, it's what you want. It's not what this devotee wants, it's not what this one... What do you want? Of course, ultimately that comes from Guru. Guru will dictate to us what Krishna wants for us, and we should accept that and do it and perform it. Guru Agya. Guru Agya. That should be. Guru Agya should become our sankalp, our vow, our activity. But in this type of situation, when there's some doubt, then one has to consult the Chaitya Guru. So he says, oh, yes, I'm just now coming. Then he chants the Maha Mantra, Krishna, do you want me to stay here and continue to chant japa? Or do you want me to join the Vaishnav Samaj and engage in Sankirtan? And then you chant until you get a clear indication. Then because chanting means you're connected with Krishna, And it's not, and if Krishna says, no, no, you go to the kirtan. He says, all right, I'll be back later. I'll be right back. So then you go to the kirtan, then you go 4 or 5 hours, whatever the kirtan goes. It is very important to be connected with the super soul. Very important. So we have to practice connecting to the super soul. And of course, as we advance, then the connection becomes self-manifest. It becomes manifest. In the beginning, we have to work at establishing a connection, because our network is not good. So it takes a while to establish a connection. Don't forget the personality. One person is pulling you for the Harinam. He's your godbrother. Please join us. You say, yes, I appreciate you. Krishna is coming. You're coming. Krishna is coming in your form. But now I'm in a dilemma. Now I have some, which way to go, Krishna? Krishna, so then you ask Krishna. Krishna, please. He's pulling me, okay. But I can't think myself. Where should I be? I'm yours, I'm your servant. Do you want me to stay here and cut the vegetables in the kitchen? Or do you want me to go drive your car? So the master, because it's not Krishna, is not so subtle. The master will say, drop the vegetables, get in the car, drive me. Because you're the chauffeur, you're the cook, you have many things. So the master will tell you, oh, but master, I haven't finished cutting the sabji for the dinner. Forget about it, drive the car. Okay, yes, dasos me. And immediately drive the car. Right? So this is, we are the servants of Krishna. So wherever the master wants to put us, that's where we go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare.